Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy Monday to all across the Delaware Valley. The good, the bad, and the sick. What a weekend. What a weekend. Sports back in full throttle. And we saw some great things yesterday from Toronto, where the Flyers dominate the Bruins. An incredible performance by the Flyers, top to bottom, punctuated by the goaltender, who was tremendous. The Bruins were dying. That line with Marchand, Bergeron, they were flying. They were dying to get a goal. They're even in the fourth quarter, it's like, and Bush said it yesterday during the telecast. He said, listen, it's good to pull the goalie to make you feel good. They had a power play. They pulled the goalie. They were dying to get a goal. And Carter Hart was sensational. Sensational. The fact that kid plays like that, wow, we could be in store for an incredible run. And then they get just four lines of toughness, of great play, wicked shots. That Myers shot was a cannon. They were all those goals were good goals. Impressive. That's the good, the really good. The really bad took place the night before in the Orlando bubble, when inexplicably the Sixers lose to a team without Sabonis, without Brogdon. Are you kidding me with that effort? Are you kidding me with that plan? Are you kidding me with Korkmaz and Netto's and Shake? Stop tinkering. 20 substitutions in the first quarter. Oh, Brett, you're killing me. I'm dying Saturday night watching him over coach and not coach. And meanwhile, sub, except there's no Thibault. And you can't play defense. Yet there's no Thibault. There's Korkmaz. Are you crazy? Korkmaz. Neto. Oh. You're getting scorched. Your best defensive player, Ben, who is getting scorched. Scorched. And your answer is Korkmaz? Shake Milton. This is why I didn't like it. All right? You put all this pressure on this kid. The kid's a nobody. All right? Listen, I hope he can come in and contribute. But you can't take a kid who had a handful of good games and then plug him in for the playoffs. He melted like goo on Saturday night. Are you for real with this whole idea? It's because Brett can't stop with the threes. He can't coach unless they're shooting threes. Play defense and post a bleep up. Go to the line. Play the freaking bully ball. He still doesn't do it. He goes back to these analytics, the analytics that ruined the freaking game. You might as well have Gabe Kapler coach the Sixers. Oh, talk about, thank God the Flyers played the way they did. I'm out of my mind watching it. It's one game. Yeah, I know. Doesn't matter. You took 4 months to come back, and that's what you get? That's disgraceful. It is. I'm sorry. There's no, you know, well, it's one game, and the plan. What? Give me a break. You know how you're supposed to play. We've talked about it all year long, how you're supposed to play. Drop the freaking analytics. And they don't work on this team. Coach this team. They have a unique setup. You got to coach to this setup, to how it's built. And then the sick. Just days ago, Doug told us how great he felt and how safe he felt. And now Doug P. has coronavirus. Now, thank God it's asymptomatic and he's feeling good. So, our thoughts. I mean, we love Dougie P. Listen, Dougie P., take care of yourself. We love you. We don't want anything to happen to you. God forbid your family, anybody else you've been in contact with. Deuce is now the interim coach. The reason why it's the sickly, for the obvious reasons and beyond, I don't know how you're going to play. I just don't know how in the world we go back to it. How are you going to play? The head coach test positive? Who knows? You know, Press Taylor's now. He's got to be quarantined. Who the hell knows? Now, baseball's going to try to go at it. We haven't seen the Phillies. I forgot who the Phillies were. They're going to play tonight. Cardinals are a mess. I don't know how. You got to have a bubble. You got to have a bubble. And then when you have a bubble for any of this stuff, just put me in there in a closet inside the bubble so I can bang my head against the bubble wall over and over again because I don't understand how you can go in and coach a game like that. I adore the man. I do. But this is, we all know that this is his last hurrah, and it started out miserably. Good morning, Tunis.
What's up, Ant?
I'm sorry. Was I on the air all that time?
Yeah, you were.
I thought I was talking to myself in the car.
You're seeing red. There's 48 minutes in a basketball game, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Neto played 21 of them. Hal Neto played almost half of a, I guess you could call it a playoff game. And a game that mattered if you're trying to move up in the seedings because, you know, the Pacers are ahead of you. I mean, I watched that game Saturday with my jaw on the floor the whole time.
Whole time.
The entire time.
But you know what's funny? Is, all right, I sloughed off the first half.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rotten first half.
Yeah, T.J. Warren had, what, 29 in the first half?
I go, whatever, they get it out of their system. And if you ask me at halftime, I would have swore on a stack of Bibles. They win. Here's a toe. They're going to win. And then they take control of the game in the third quarter, right? Mm-hmm. And I go, well, they're going to win. It's ugly, and they don't really deserve it.
Hey, but first game back, 4 months. All right.
You know, whatever. You're going to win. I hate your plan, but I hate this shake idea, but whatever. You're going to at least win the game, right? That was how I thought about it in the third quarter. Then the fourth quarter came. And they just didn't play any freaking defense. They allowed Indiana, what did they score, 50 in the fourth quarter?
46 points.
46 points in the
fourth quarter.
46. They gave up 46 points in the fourth quarter.
Meanwhile, T.J. Warren, who finished with, what, 51? They weren't guarding him. I get it. It's T.J. Warren. But when a guy's hot, I don't know. Maybe you put some pressure on him?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you go with Korkmaz. Neto plays the last 7 minutes of the game.
Yes.
Of a quarter, you gave up 46 points. You think Neto plus Neto equals no defense? I mean, what am I going crazy? How in the world can you give me that? seriously.
No, it's sad because what we kept on saying was, well, there's no way Brett Brown hasn't figured it out in 4 months. There's no way.
Figured it out.
And God, it got worse.
It did.
It was worse yesterday.
It was Saturday. Worse. It was than before the pandemic. It's unbelievable.
And you had Simmons and Embiid healthy, and it was still worse. What are you doing? You're right. How many times did he go to the bench in the first quarter?
It's like, outrageous. Ugh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was my jaw was on the floor the entire time, and I was confused. Again, the rotations. Yeah, there was way too much cork. He didn't even hit a three. He couldn't hit water. He was 0-4 yesterday or Saturday. So the guy that you depend on to shoot some threes, the bomber that you thought you grew, he shouldn't play.
Grew a bomber.
I need to grow a bomber.
I mean, I can't even think about this. I can't. I am beyond aggravated. It's one game, and he has tested my patience for one game. How in the world? First of all, Andrew, how many friggin' subs? Embiid is, nobody can guard Embiid.
Yeah.
40-20. We should have been Wilt. It should have been 100. Like in Redding. You got nobody to guard the guy. Nobody. And, you know, this ridiculous substitution pattern. Oh, 3 minutes go by. Sub.
Yeah, there's never, and at one point there was. There should never be a time where Neto and Korkmaz are on the floor at the same time. It's just two guys that can't play defense.
He has lost it. He's lost it. I don't know what he's saying. And it breaks my heart. It does. It breaks my heart because I love the man. What are you doing? Get it together. You got to get it together. What in the world is he thinking about? And can I just tell you? Look, I'm not going to just completely pee on the Shake Milton idea. However, Andrew, didn't it smell rash to you when everybody was like, oh, I love it, and I didn't like it? You know why? Because you're taking a kid. You're taking a kid who had a couple of games, right? 15, right? I didn't even think it was 15. But he showed you a little something in 15 games, and you thrust him in the middle of pressure, right? And by the way, he's not really what you do. What you do is play defense. So he's antithetical to what you do because he doesn't play any defense.
Yeah, TJ McConnell blows right by him.
All right? But yet you insert him in the starting line, going against what I told you, which is have five on the starting lineup. But you want to monkey around, fool around with who has the ball in their hands instead of playing the way you're supposed to play. Play defense. Run outs, play D, dump the ball into the big man. I mean, is it that hard? Is it that hard? And it may be if you have Milton off the bench playing against second unit guys, maybe he shows you something. Otherwise, what are you doing?
He looked lost out there.
Otherwise, you know what's amazing? Like, we criticized, and rightly so, the Eagles for having guys on their bench when they're and not taking a look at them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing, guys? Well, it's the same thing with the Sixers. He gets rid of Trey Burke, who scored 29 Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
For who?
Dallas Mavericks.
No. For who? For Neto.
Oh, yes. For Neto.
What?
Analytics.
These guys, they're so paralyzed by doing something wrong that they have to go with their ultimate cover their ass with analytics. You know why Elaine Vigneault is so good? Elaine Vigneault is so good because he doesn't care. right? He knows, he comes in and he walks around with a swagger. Listen, I won cups. I've been in this league a long time. I know the game. Alain Vigneault walks around like he knows the game, and he's not afraid to make any decisions. Right? Mm-hmm. He's not afraid to make any decisions. He comes in, bump, bump, bump. This is how we're going to play. This is what we're going to do. And when you don't play well, I'm going to rip you.
Hey, did that what? First week of the season.
First week of the season. Digging in their rear ends.
He said, I forget who it was, but he was like, oh, I love this player. Great guy. But hey, I'll be honest. I need more out of him.
Yeah.
1 week into the season, it's a totally new system that Vigneault brings out. And they're used to, you know, the Hackstall system. And he doesn't care. You're right. He just points it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. And look at them. The Flyers play fearless. This is a tale of two teams. The Sixers play scared. They play tentative. They don't play with a swagger. They're not at down your throats. The Flyers are. Flyers play with a swagger. They're unafraid.
Yeah, they look comfortable out there. The first period comes to an end, 0-0, and the Flyers probably like, oh, we won that period. And then they go on to win 4-1.
By the way, you know, listen, say what you want. That Boston team's a good team.
Yeah, yes, it is.
All right? Pasta Man, Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci. He goes on and on and on. Coyle. That's a great team. And they completely dominated that game. Dominated from dropping a puck till the end of the game when they couldn't even score. Boston couldn't even score. Power play, pulling the goalie with 3 minutes to go. It didn't matter. Even when they did score, how about it? Myers came right back with a bullet.
8 seconds later. 8 seconds.
Bullet! Forget about final score and whatever. One game for each team. You could see it. You could completely see it. You see this team is a real contender. That team should be a contender, but they're not. And it kills me, Andrew. It absolutely kills me.
Here's Brett's computer at halftime. Oh, Neto. Neto's going to play point.
You can't win in the play. You're going to beat the Clippers or the Lakers with Neto? Are we out of our minds? How many times do you have to be, hey, this is what Korkmaz is. He's good against the Brooklyn Nets.
I need to grow a bomber.
No, you don't, all right? Only because you want to play the Euro trash style, all right? That's why you want to play. You're not built like that. You're not the Rockets. Oh, it's going to be a long day.
Well, some fun at 11:30.
What's 11:30?
Danny Briere's going to join the show.
Oh, that's cool.
Talk about the impressive Flyers win.
It'll be fun after day. I am aggravated. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. Just getting started. Phone calls. What about you guys? Tell you about Parks Casino, hometown casino, 4-for-4 casino. Phillies are back. They're back and they face Garrett Cole. How about that? Let's see. Garrett Cole, whose last regular season loss was 14 months ago, in his last 24 regular season starts, he's 18-0. With a 1.89 ERA. He's 2-0 with the Yankees. So the Phillies are plus 290 tonight on the Parks app. Can the Phillies get it done?
I would say no.
Let's ride the fight. Sixers favored by 6.5 over the Spurs. you know, even the Sixers should beat the Spurs. There's nobody on the Spurs team. But the Spurs are within two games of the eighth spot in the West, so they're looking to make the playoffs. Toronto on Toronto-Miami this afternoon, great matchup. So check it all out on the Parks app. Oh, it's the best, the sportsbook app. Just download it, use code Fanatic. You get a free $500 bet. That's PARXCasino.com/PA. Use promo code Fanatic. Get your risk-free bet up to $500. The website has all your all the details for you. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss. It's a free bet. Got to be 21 present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Tremendous effort by the Orange and the Black. And joining us to break it all down, who knows all about playoff heroics, Danny Briere on the Comcast Business Hotline. Danny B.
Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. That game was outright. Like, they came in and they dominated from the opening faceoff.
They played extremely well. It was good to see. And look, I've watched, first of all, I mean, how great is this to have playoff hockey in August? I know it's weird, but I love it.
I love it.
All weekend watching hockey was awesome. You know, what I've noticed is the intensity in the play and the teams that were playing in the play-in round, was a little bit more intense than the round robin games. So I was a little worried about that, but the Flyers really played extremely well. I thought they played under control the whole time. They were the better team. And I didn't think Boston created much offense until the last 3 minutes of the game when they pulled their goalie. It was the only time where they had some kind of sustained attack. So, great job done by the coaching staff to prepare them and the players to execute.
Yeah, it was interesting because you're right. I mean, the defense played ridiculous in front of Carter Hart. Carter Hart was tremendous, but they played great in front of him. They were disciplined. And you're right. You know, they had that penalty. So they had to kill off the penalty, and you could see the Bruins were desperate to feel good about something.
Yeah.
And, right? Like the Bergeron and Marchand and Pastrnak, and they're trying to get one just to feel good, and correct, they got denied every which way, man.
Yeah, and you know what? You mentioned the defense. The Flyers defense did a good job of limiting the chances for the three guys that you mentioned, probably the best line in hockey. And you know what? Carter Hart, was solid. He made the saves that he had to make. And I heard you guys talk about that earlier, but to me, that was the turning point when Boston scored and the next shift right after that, they take it back to them, and Myers scored. So that was a backbreaker for Boston. You work so hard to finally get a goal, get on the board, and then right away you give it back up. You know, you'll often hear coaches say that the next shift after a goal and the start of a period, the end of a period, and then the shift right after a goal are always key shifts. And then the Flyers really took it to them right after they scored their goal.
Yeah, it's amazing how we went from being a one, maybe two, like really like one and a half lines, to now it feels like four strong with this team. It feels right?
Yeah, and to me too, that was very important. We didn't see, you know, Giroux, Voracek, Couturier, you know, I think Konechny, I don't know if Konechny had an assist on Lawton's goal, but it wasn't those guys that you know, that they played well. But
right.
The goals came from Raffle and Thompson. To see, you know, the third and fourth line chip in, to me, was a great sign. Because, you know, at some point, the big guns are going to wake up and they're going to do their parts. But when you can win a game without, you know, the big guns getting on the board, that's a great sign. So, you know, big win to start this round robin. And who knows? I mean, if they can, you know, move up and instead of being the fourth seed, if they can move that up to a first or second seed, they'd be in great position to start the real playoff.
Yeah. I mean, what you're talking about is a testimony to their depth. I mean, how about a guy like Pitlick? I mean, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a player. He's got real talent. I mean, I keep going back to it, and the depth is really what is like stands out the most. And,
yeah.
And why and, they're real, right?
Yeah, and, you know, Pitlick, I can't remember the last time we had, you know, a fourth-line guy like that could really make a difference since we probably had Lappy in a similar role in 2010. You know, we've had a lot of guys that came in and, you know, kind of filled the role, but a guy that really made a difference that could help, you know, physically, could chip in offensively here and there, could block shots. I've been really, really impressed with him.
Yeah, yeah, same way. And how about on the defense side of things? How about Provorov? Wow, we talk about being a beast. He logged like 24 minutes of ice time and was just tremendous the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Provorov last year had an off year. And then this year he came back and he was really a force. And I think having Niskanen with him really, really helps. You know, and again, yesterday we saw why, like this pairing. And I think the Flyers top four right now with the emergence of Myers and Sanheim playing better and better, is a key. Those two guys, on the second pairing, can really make a difference. And it's tough to play against tall, lanky defensemen. They don't really need to be super physical, but when you're coming on defensemen and they're 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", and they're just leaning on you, they have the long stick, you can't get near them, it takes a toll and it's annoying. So I like the diversity that we have on defense with Niskanen, Provorov, and the Myers and Sanheim pairing, and then you bring in a little grit with Hag and Braun. And you know what's amazing? I mean, Ghost would be, you know, on most teams, he would be one of their top defensemen.
Yes.
You know, and he's going to get back in the lineup. He's going to get his chances. We're probably going to face some injuries at some point. So I know it's not ideal for him. He wants to play. But to have a guy like that sitting that you can insert in the lineup, that also shows the depth of that team.
Yeah, in a big way. And what is it? What struck you from the weekend of watching games? Anything kind of stand out to you?
The intensity. And it, from game one, like you, if you had the chance to watch the New York Rangers Carolina game.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the drop of the puck, they have Brady Shea, who used to be on the Rangers, was traded at the deadline, and he takes a run at probably one of his buddies right at the beginning of the game. And then you have Justin Williams dropping the glove. I couldn't believe the intensity. And that, I think that set the tone for the playoffs. Everybody's seeing that. So, okay, yeah, it's playoff hockey. It's real. There might not be any fans. But they're finding ways to get up for games. So, and then you saw Rod Brindamore behind the bench fired up early in the game.
Yeah.
So it got me fired up. And I think, you know, the players were watching early, to see that. I think everybody followed suit, especially in the play-in games. That's what probably struck me the most, because I didn't know how the guys would react to playing in front of no fans.
Danny Breyer with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Yeah, I got to give the NHL a ton of credit. You know, we have often criticized Bettman, but if you look, if you look at the plan, right, he was able to pivot because originally the plan was going to be Chicago and Las Vegas for the bubble. He said, "You know what? We're going to go to Canada, where there's fewer cases." He goes up to Canada and look at the schedule. Right, it's brilliant because we get hockey from noon until 2 a.m. every day.
Yeah, I agree. I love it. You know, and they're finding with you see what happened is happening in baseball with the guys, you know, traveling from city to cities. I think it would have been tough for the NHL to do that and to survive. But to bring, you know, all the teams inside that bubble and kind of limit the damages that, you know, that they can get on the outside, I think it's brilliant. And like you said, having hockey all day long, this is amazing. I'm so excited about hockey being back.
I know. And Danny, it's amazing, right? Because it's regimented and every game's just about is on television. And I look at how baseball handled it, right? Here's baseball, which is used to playing in the summer. And like, granted, I understand you have two rinks, so you're going to have to stagger the games. But baseball doesn't even have day games. They have very little day games. They're starting the bulk of their games at night. They're still charging for the MLB pass, league pass. Whereas hockey's going, here, just watch NBC, NBC Sports Channel, USA Network, and we're going to give you hockey all day long.
Yeah, and you know, and obviously hockey is trying to grow in popularity in the U.S., and it's a great way to do it.
Yeah,
And then brilliant. When people have the chance to watch games like this, the intensity of those games, I mean, how can you not love it? So I hope it helps grow the game, but yeah, I think Gary Bettman has done a tremendous job when it comes to creating this playoff hockey in a bubble atmosphere.
So, just to put the neat bow on the Flyers. So, if you're Alain Vigneault and you're thrilled at what happened yesterday, how do you approach the rest of the games before we get into the playoff format?
Well, I think the approach is you're trying to get better as this round robin comes in. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a couple lineup changes in the next two games. I think we should expect probably to see Elliott. We probably should expect to see Ghost play at least one of the games, maybe on offense, a couple guys as well, because he wants to keep everybody ready to go. And in depth is going to be important if you're going to make a long run. You know, I think, yes, the Flyers want to move up if they can in the rankings, but at the same time, they don't want to lose players, and they want to make sure everybody has had the chance to play at least a game here and there, because you're going to need your depth and players that are not playing as it moves along. I mean, the playoff hockey is one of the toughest stretch of games for any athlete, so it's almost impossible to go 2 months without any injuries. So you just got to try to find a way to keep everybody in it.
I love it. Danny, way to break it down, man. It's so much fun. You know, we're going to be bugging you. So you're going to have to hang out with us a lot in the coming weeks.
We can always talk hockey. I love it too.
Oh, thank you, brother. You're the best. God bless you and the family, right? Be careful.
Take care, Anthony.
See you, buddy. Danny Briere on the Comcast Business Hotline. I love him, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.